بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. الله عز وجل reward you for your patience. We in this session continue with what we mentioned in the last session, and that is ذكر or a mention of some of the asalib and some of the methods of the kuffar of Quraysh in standing against the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam began giving da'wah, when he began calling to Allah azza wa jal, and when the believers began to enter into Islam, it of course was something that was for the kuffar of Quraysh something new, in that the da'wah, it called to the oneness of Allah azza wa jal, and they believed in Allah azza wa jal without doubt, and that is established throughout the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the fact that if you were to ask them who created the heavens and the earth, and they would say Allah. And so they believed in Allah azza wa jal. Of course, the issue and the problem that they had was that they used to turn and used to direct aspects of their worship to other than Allah azza wa jal, from the idols and from the awthan. And so for them, particularly for the generation that was present, worshipping Allah azza wa jal alone, not turning to the idols, was something that was ajeeb and something that they were unacquainted with. And thus we have a number of the verses of the Quran that were revealed when Allah Azza wa Jal informs of the affair of the mushrikeen, that from them were those who used to say, أَجَأَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَاهًا وَاحِدًا. Have they made, or has he made all of the gods one god? And that was the attitude of the kuffar of Quraysh at that time. And so we mentioned previously some of the asalib and some of the methods that they used to use against the Messenger of Allah. As-sukhriya, yani ridicule, mocking, and that they attempted to kill him, that they attempted to negotiate with Abu Talib. And you remember we mentioned the narration last week, which is incidentally the authentic version of the narration. There is a version of the narration when Abu Talib was approached by the kuffar of Quraysh about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani do something about this nephew of yours, because he has split our jama'ah, he has created problems. And so the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib, he entered upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informed him of what they were saying. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, as we mentioned last week, with the authentic, or in the authentic version of the hadith, even though there is a popular version that you'll find in many of the books of Sirah, and that is that the Prophet ﷺ responded by saying that if you were to put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left, then it wouldn't turn me away from that which Allah Azza wa Jal has sent me with. That version in actuality is a weak riwayah, a weak version of the narration of Sheikh Nasir and others from the A'imah of hadith have mentioned. What is authentic though is that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, do you see the rays of the sun? Then I am less able to leave alone that which Allah Azza wa Jal has sent me with, as they are able to grab one of the rays of the sun. And that version is authentic. And so from the asalib, or from the methods, is this method of negotiation, attempting to negotiate with the Prophet ﷺ for him to leave alone that which Allah Azza wa Jal has sent him with. And this method of negotiation, it differed. They would either, as we mentioned, negotiate or attempt to negotiate with those who were aiding the Messenger of Allah to prevent him from aiding him. And so, if he's unaided, he's weak, and then those other asalib may be effective. Our attempt to kill him, our attempt to harm him, may be more effective if he's unprotected. Similarly, that they would attempt to negotiate with the Messenger of Allah himself. When they entered upon him, asking him, is it wealth that you want? If it is wealth that you want, then we'll make you, we'll gather from our wealth and we'll make you the richest of us. And if it is a woman that you seek, then we'll marry you 10 of the most beautiful women of Makkah. And if it is leadership that you seek, then we'll make you the leader of Makkah. And that, again, in terms of the stance of the Prophet ﷺ, in regards to that offer, in that we have a refutation, one, against the people of Takfir and the people of Khilafah and those who claim that the greatest wajib is the establishment of the Islamic State. Here the Prophet ﷺ was made the offer, and he will make you the leader. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't say, khalas, make me the leader, and khalas, the mission is over, we've achieved the greatest goal. La. Prophet ﷺ rejected all of those offers, even to become the leader of Mecca. Which indicates that that was not his goal. The goal was not to just become the leader, and leadership and rule. Na'am, if it is given to us, and if Allah Azza wa Jal blesses us with it, after the establishment of Tawheed, the establishment of the Sunnah, then of course, ikhwan, the affair of rule is something that is khayr, but it is not from, as we've mentioned previously, not from the usul of the deen. It is not from the usul of the religion. And as we mentioned, the proof of that is that the Prophet and the messengers, the prophets and the messengers never did they all establish states. And so we do not say it then that the majority of them failed in their mission, because the majority of them didn't establish a state. And a small number of them established states. And Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah discusses the affair in Majmu' al-Fatawa, establishing the fact that the establishment of the state, while it is something that everyone, of course every believer, would love and desire, it is not from the primary goals, yani from the usul of the religion, by way of which, if we don't establish it, then we are sinful. For indeed, the Messenger, as Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, he discusses that the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that indeed the religion, when it is established first and foremost upon its usul, upon its foundations. And then it has built upon those usul and built upon those foundations for all. And thus the Prophet ﷺ, when he informed us of the destruction of the deen, he mentions that the tunqad ura al-Islam urwa urwa. He said that indeed the bonds of Islam will be broken bond for bond. فَأَوَّلُهَا نَقْضًا الْحُكْمُ. That the first of them to be broken will be rule. And the last of them to be broken will be salah. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, he mentions that look at how when it comes to the development of the deen and the establishment of the deen, it is established usul first, fundamentals first, foundations first, then the furu', then the subsidiary issues. And when it comes to its destruction, the affair is reversed. It is destroyed furu' first, subsidiary issues first, and then its destruction ends with usul. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, the first thing to be destroyed will be al-hukum, rule, indicating that the rule, affair of rule, is not from the primary affairs that we must establish. Rather, we see from the da'wah of the prophets and the messengers that they are called to, and their concern was the affair, ikhwan, of the establishment of Tawheed. And as we mentioned previously, the Prophet ﷺ, when it came to the rulers, there was no major concern with sending them extensive letters and sending them dignitaries to call them or to sit with them or to spend extensive amounts of time with them. Prophet ﷺ would send them a letter, aslim taslam, embrace and you'll be safe, and if not, then the sin of your people is upon you. Brief letters calling them to Allah Azza wa Jal. But the concern of the prophets and the messengers, ikhwan, was the people. The concern of the prophets and the messengers was changing and affecting the hearts of the people and establishing them upon Tawheed, establishing them upon the usul and the fundamentals, whether the state was established or not. And we see that then with the call of the Prophet ﷺ, they offered him rule. We'll make you the leader if that is what you want. Prophet ﷺ rejected that. Thus, if it was the case that establishment of a state and being a leader was the primary goal, Prophet ﷺ would have accepted that offer and entered the da'wah, or entered early upon the establishment of one of the greatest goals. When we look then at the da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca, ikhwan, and we've already looked at some of the asalib and the manner in which the kuffar of Quraysh, they opposed his da'wah, we see that they use a number of asalib, a number of methods. And what we observe similarly is that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed in the Quran that which was relative, number one, to the asalib that they used, and number two, that which was relative to the development of the early Muslims. And so when you look and you observe the Makki surahs, the surah that were revealed in Mecca, and the difference between the Makki surah and the Madani surah is what, ikhwan? So, no, what is the mi'yar or the determining factor between which surahs are Makki, which surahs are Madani? Ahsan. Makki is before Hijrah, Madani is after Hijrah. If it was revealed before the Hijrah, it is considered Makki. If it is revealed after the Hijrah, it is considered Madani. And that is important to know, because there are some surah that were revealed and verses that were revealed in Mecca after the Hijrah. And so what we find then is that similarly for the one who observes and studies the statements of Ahlul Ilm concerning the manner in which the Quran was revealed, the surah were not all revealed at once. Bima'na, each surah was not revealed in totality at one time. Rather, we had verses that were revealed based upon certain circumstances, and they were, or the Prophet ﷺ would command that that be placed before such and such, and this be placed before such and such, in surah such and such. Which, the scholars mention, is an indication of the fact that the ordering of the surah, the ordering of the verses, was something that was that returned back to tawqif. And it returned back to that which the Prophet ﷺ dictated, and the manner in which those surah and those verses were to be revealed. But within the observation of some of the ayat and the Qur'an that were revealed in that period, we see, as we mentioned, the hal and the state of the kuffar of Quraysh, and we similarly see that which was related to the affair of the believers and the manner in which Allah Azza wa Jal nurtured them. And we see how Allah Azza wa Jal protected the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. From that we have, from the earlier surah of the Qur'an that were revealed in Mecca, we have the revelation of Surah Yasin. And within it, ikhwan, we have the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. In the verse, which is verse 77, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, does mankind not see that we have created him from nutfa, that we have created him from semen or from sperm? As it relates to the verse, Al-Imam Ibn Kathir and Ibn Abi Hatim and others, they make mention of a athar or a narration concerning or a narration of Ibn Abbas concerning Al-As Ibn Wa'il, who was from considered from the notables of Quraysh, was considered from those who were yani, from the leaders among them. And we see the Messenger ﷺ, in some of the instances of his da'wah, he was firm with them, and he was abrupt with them, and he was straight to the point, and played no games in conveying that which was the haqq. When they would ridicule with him, he would respond to their ridicule with this firm manner of giving da'wah. In this narration then, Sheikh Muqbil authenticates in his Sahih Musnad min Asbab al-Nuzul, Al-As ibn Wa'il, who, as we mentioned, was from the notables of Quraysh, he took some bones. He took them in his hand and he crumbled them and he broke them and he crumbled them in his hands in the presence of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ayyuhillah hadha ba'dama aram?" He said, "Will Allah Azza wa Jal give life to this after it has become dust? Allah will give it life?" And so he responded, that is the Messenger of Allah, he responded by saying, Na'am, yumituka Allah, thumma yuhyik, thumma yudkhiluka al-jahannam. He said, yes, Na'am, Allah Azza wa Jal will cause you to die, and then he'll give you life, and then he'll enter you into Jahannam. Making a abrupt response, a firm response, to the statement of the one who attempted to ridicule that which Allah Azza wa Jal had revealed upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the ayat and from the verses of the Quran. Similarly, ikhwan, we saw that Allah Azza wa Jal on some occasions would deal with those who ridiculed the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the most severe fashion, as occurs mathalan in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَيُرْسِلُ الصَّوَائِقِ فَيُصِيبُ بِهَا مَنْ يَشَاءَ وَهُمْ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي اللَّهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, as occurs in Surah Ra'd, verse 13, that Allah mentions, and He sends sawa'iq, that indeed He sends lightning bolts. In that regard, we have the narration that was, with the chain of narration going back to Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and was collected by Imam Bazzar and others, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent a missionary, he sent someone to give da'wah, to call one of the notables from the people of Jahiliyyah. He doesn't mention who exactly that individual was, but he was one that was from the ulama of Jahiliyyah, one that was from the people who were looked upon as leaders among the people of Jahiliyyah, in order to call them to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so he responded with ridicule. And that is that he said, Ish Rabbuk, Alladhi tad'unani ilay. Min hadithin hu, min nuhasin hu, min fidda, min zahab hu. Fa'ata al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa'akhbara. He said that he said in response to the da'wah of the Messenger, this God of yours that you're calling me to, what is he? What is he made of? Is he from iron? Is he made of brass? Is he of silver? Is he made of gold? What is he exactly? Yani, we're idol worshippers. Jameel, we worship idols. This God that you're calling me to, what is it? What is he made of? Iron, brass, gold, silver, what is he? And so the Rasul, or the Messenger of the Messenger of Allah, went back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informed him of what he said. And so he, that is the Messenger, he sent him back. And so he went back and he responded in the same manner. Yes, but what is he? I'm in hadid hu, nuhas. I'm in zahab hu, min fidda. What is he? Is he from gold? Is he made of silver, iron, brass? What is he, this God of yours? So he went back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him back on a third occasion. And so he responded in the same manner. Yes, 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 but what is he? Silver, gold, brass, iron? What is he? And so when he made that statement, Allah Azza wa Jal sent a lightning bolt that hit him and struck him in the top of his head and killed him. And then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, يُرُسِلُ الصَّوَائِقِ فَيُصِيبُ بِهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُمْ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي اللَّهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that indeed He sends sawa'iq, He sends lightning bolts, and He strikes with it and with them whomsoever He wills, while they debate concerning Allah. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, on some occasions, would strike, and again the narration was declared authentic by Sheikh Muqbil in Sahih Asbab al-Nuzul. So Allah Azza wa Jal would strike and would respond to the ridicule of Quraysh and of the early Arab on some occasions, ikhwan, by direct punishment. Or they would observe Allah Azza wa Jal protecting the Messenger of Allah. In another narration, we have the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal as it relates to the revelation of the verse, كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى, that indeed, nay, indeed mankind, لَيَطْغَى, that he is ever oppressive, ever transgressing. Allah Azza wa Jalla, as occurs in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, that Abu Jahl on an occasion, hadith of Abi Huraira, Abu Jahl on an occasion, he said that indeed when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he comes here to fall upon his face to pray, I swear by Lat and I swear by Uzza, by Lat and Uzza, the two gods that they used to worship, yani two of the main gods, la in ra'aytuhu yaf'alu dhalika, he said that if I see him doing so, then I am going to place my foot on his neck, and then I'm going to push his face in the dirt, or I'm going to stamp on his face, on his head, and push it into the dirt. So the Prophet ﷺ, he came and he began to pray. And so, after the statement that he made, after he made that claim, then of course it was imperative that he displayed what he claimed that he would do. He said, فَمَا فَاجَأَ أَوْ فَمَا فَجَأَهُمْ مِنْهُ إِلَّا وَهُوَ نَكِسَ عَنْ عَقِبَيْهِ يَتَّقِي بِيَدَيْهِ. He said, so he went to an approach, or tried to approach the Messenger of Allah to do what he said he would do. And he said, so no sooner did he approach the Messenger while he was praying, except that they saw him, after heading towards the Messenger and approaching the Messenger, they saw him walking backwards and protecting and guarding his face. That he was walking backwards, guarding his face. And so they said to him, Malak, what is wrong with you? He said, فَقَالْ إِنَّ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ لَخَنْدَقًا مِنْ نَارٍ وَهَاُولَى وَأَجْنِهَا. He said that indeed between me and him was a trench of fire, and these individuals and wings. He said, I could only see fire and wings. And so on that basis, Allah Azza wa Jal guarded the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he finished praying, he said, لو دنا مني لأختطفه الملائكة عدوان عدوا. He said, Prophet ﷺ, he responded by saying that if he had come anywhere near me, then the angels would have cut him to shreds, limb from limb, would have split him limb by limb. And so the Prophet ﷺ was protected by not only by his uncle, not only by Abu Talib, not only by the fact that he was from the Abna of Abdul Muttalib, but similarly, Allah Azza wa Jal protected the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Na'am, similarly, ikhwan, we found that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, when he would give da'wah, when he would call to Allah Azza wa Jal, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on occasions would make a statement, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal the Quran upon the exact statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is as it relates to the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah. For example, we have a narration, and all of the narrations, ikhwan, these narrations are authenticated by Sheikh Muqbil, rahimahullah ta'ala. An example of that, a narration that goes back to Sa'id ibn Jubair, who mentioned, قُلْتُ لِبْنِ Abbas, أولى لك فأولى ثم أولى لك فأولى. He said that I said to Ibn Abbas and recited the verse, أولى لك, woe to you, O man, woe, woe to you, O man, woe. He said I recited it to Ibn Abbas, and Ibn Abbas, he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam قاله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي جهل ثُمَّ أَنزَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. He said that the Prophet ﷺ, when he was given da'wah to Abu Jahl, he said it to Abu Jahl, woe to you, O man, woe. Woe to you. Woe. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the Quran with the exact words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was giving da'wah to Abu Jahl. And so we see, ikhwan, throughout the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah Azza wa Jal, or number one, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worked tirelessly in conveying the da'wah and in conveying that which Allah Azza wa Jal had revealed. And we see that it was the Quran, ayyuhal ikhwa. It was the book of Allah Azza wa Jal that he would use in his da'wah. And it was the Quran that Allah Azza wa Jal would send down to aid the believers, to aid the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that which he called to. For indeed, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, he said, أنزل الله القرآن على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فتلاه عليهم زمانا. He said that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal sent the Quran down upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would recite it to them for a period. From the very beginning, Allah Azza wa Jal sent the verses, the ayat of the Quran, the surah of the Quran, and of course the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when those surah were revealed, he would come out and he would recite it to them. And he would inform them of that which Allah Azza wa Jal had revealed upon them. And as occurs, ikhwan, in a narration, the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she mentioned that from the verse or the earliest of the verses that were revealed, when someone from Iraq had come to see and examine her mushaf, to see if her mushaf was any different from the mushaf that he had. And so when she understood what it was he came for, he said, what is it that you wish, or what is it that you want with my mushaf? Indeed, from the first of that which Allah Azza wa Jalla had revealed, because it, as some of Ahlul Ilm mentioned, it was as though he believed that the Quran should have been ordered in accordance or in chronological order. However those verses came down, then that is how the Quran should have been put together. She responded to him by saying that the first of that which was revealed upon the Messenger of Allah was the lights of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ, when the horn is blown into. And Ahlul Ilm mentioned, and Shaykhana Shaykh Ali Nasir used to mention the fact that these verses, when you look at the statement of Aisha radiallahu anha, and then you look at the first and the earliest of that which was revealed from the Quran, you see that the verses revolve around certain topics. The verses revolve around the usul of the deen. We see the establishment of the aqeedah, the establishment of tawheed, removing the claims and freeing Allah Azza wa Jal from their claims that Allah Azza wa Jal that the idols were the daughters of Allah, or that Allah Azza wa Jal has children, that we have the establishment of the da'wah of the prophets and the messengers, and that Allah revealed ayat and suwar that freed the prophets and the messengers from any blame, and that established that they carried and conveyed that which Allah Azza wa Jal would have them convey. Similarly, that were those stories and those qasas, they were forms or manners of consoling the Messenger of Allah and the believers, that na'am, you're going through difficulty, you're going through hardship, but take and receive the glad tidings of Jannah, number one. Similarly, know and understand that this affair of iman requires sabr, requires patience. And likewise, here are some of the stories of the prophets and the messengers and what they went through and what they received at the hands of those who were around them and those who surrounded them. And so the manner in which the Quran was revealed established that early community. And so the earliest of the believers, they would sit with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam even before Dar al-Arqam, even before the house of Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam. They would sit with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would receive those ayat, receive those surah, and they would be consoled within them. Or they would have in it the mention of Yawm al-Qiyamah, the mention of the Ma'ad, the mention of the resurrection. Or those early surah, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ, يعني when the sun is rolled up, يعني a reference to it being rolled up with the moon and hurled into the hellfire. And when the stars lose their their glister there and their shine. Those suwar that were revealed, explaining Yawm al-Qiyamah, explaining what would happen, explaining the fact that there is a day that is coming that we must prepare for. And so the earliest of the suwar established the early community, ikhwan, upon tawheed, upon the aqeedah, upon the usul of the deen, upon the usul of the religion. And it was that solidified their hearts. And that is, thus, it is referred to as the aqeedah. Yani from aqada, to tie or to knot or to bond. And that is that their hearts were solidified and tied and fortified upon these early elements and these early usul and fundamentals of the belief. And so Aisha radiallahu anha informed that the ahkam, she went on to say, if the first thing that was revealed upon them, yani upon the early community, was la tasriq, was do not steal, then they would have said, we will not leave stealing abadan. And if the first thing that was revealed was la tazni, don't fornicate, then they would say, we would not leave fornication abadan. And if the first thing that was revealed was la tashrab al-khamar, then they would say, la natruk al-khamra abadan. That they would have said that we will not leave khamar abadan, ever. She said, if that was the first thing that was revealed. And as it relates to the revelation then of those ahkam, we saw that Allah Azza wa Jal in Medina, and we'll look at that when we reach the Madani period, that we see that those ahkam came down in Medina after the aqeedah, after the iman was firmly established in the hearts of the believers. That is not to say that we abandon them then until our aqeedah and iman is firmly established. What it indicates is the importance of concentrating upon the aqeedah al-islamiyya, al-sahihah, al-salafiyyah. Important, ikhwan, fundamental. For indeed it was that solidified the early community, ikhwan, and it was that made it easy for them to accept the ahkam. When the rulings came down, ikhwan, they accepted them. If you look at the revelation of khamar, when it actually came down, when the prohibition came down, the initial affair was Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر قل فيهما إثم كبير ومنافع للناس. They ask you about khamar and gambling. Say in it and in the two of them is great sin and benefit for the people. But the sin is greater than the benefit. And so the first thing that was revealed in relation to the revelation of the prohibition against khamar was this affair of analysis, weighing up, yani the good and the evil. That if it's evil is greater, then it is better left. But that was all that was revealed initially. Then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُولُونَ. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, O ye who believe, don't approach salah while you are intoxicated, until you know what you're saying. And so then, the second stage in the revelation of the prohibition of al-khamar was, don't approach salah while you're intoxicated, which would indicate then that it was not possible to drink except at a particular time of night. If you were to drink after dhuhr, then asr would come in and you'd still be drunk. And so you couldn't drink after dhuhr. If you were to drink after asr, then maghrib would come and you'd be drunk. And so you couldn't drink after asr. If you were to drink after maghrib, then Isha would come and you'd be drunk. And so the only time that it was possible to drink was after Isha, between Isha and Fajr. And so we had, number one, an indication in those early verses of the fact that it is evil. It is not good. But still, an outright prohibition had not come. Secondly, that the time period that they could have possibly drunk was now greatly restricted. And so that was the second stage. And look at the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jal, even in the prohibition of these khaba'ith. And then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ to the end of the ayah, رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوا. That indeed, khamar and maysir, and slaughtering on the pulpit, the usage of the omens and following omens is rijs. It is evil and filthy from the works of shaitan. Fajtanibu. So stay away from it. So Allah Azza wa Jal, in the revelation of the verse, outright prohibited the drinking of khamar. Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, as a cousin of hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, he said that there was not an individual except that those who had raised cups to their mouths, that they poured that which was in their hand out. And that the streets of Medina flowed with khamar from them, yani emptying their vessels that had khamar within them. And thus, we see then that when the verses were revealed, and when those ayat came down, based upon that which was within them, and based upon what they had been receiving from the Quran, they were firm and they had been solidified upon iman. And so the ahkam, when the rulings came, they understood that it was sami'na wa ata'na. It was here and we obey. They understood it was min Rabbina tabaraka wa ta'ala, from our Lord. And so the affair was not up for debate. And the affair was not up for discussion. And so one of the problems that we have, ikhwan, in our time, is the da'af and the weakness of iman, the weakness of that which the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim, were upon. Weakness in terms of understanding the affair of iman, understanding that which Allah Azza wa Jal has given to us, understanding that which Allah Azza wa Jal had revealed upon the Messenger of Allah, understanding the affairs of Tawheed, the hearts disconnected from Allah Azza wa Jal, disconnected from their Lord. And thus the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from the earliest stages, that which he concentrated upon was connecting the hearts of the believers with Allah Azza wa Jal. And that was what we saw the Quran when it came down. That was what we saw from the topics that were addressed within the early surah in the Quran, was the establishment of Tawheed, connecting the worshippers to Allah Azza wa Jal. Thus, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when leadership was offered to him, he rejected it. Since that was not his goal, or that was not his initial desire. And that is not to say that it was not a desire of the Messenger or any one of the prophets to have a state that was governed by Islam. Of course, ikhwan, that is the desire of any one of the prophets and the messengers and the believers. But that which the Prophet ﷺ was sent with was to establish Tawheed in the hearts of the people. And that then we see with all of the prophets and the messengers, they concentrated upon the people. Their concentration was not just upon certain individuals from the rulers and what have you. Their concentration was upon the people, changing the people and connecting the people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he mentions, أنذر الله القرآن على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فتلاه عليهم زمانا. He said that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the Quran upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he recited it upon them for a period. فقالوا يا رسول الله لو قصصت علينا. And so they said, O Messenger of Allah, if only you were to give us some stories. If only you were to give us some stories. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, فأنزل الله ألف لام راء تلك آيات كتاب المبين. He said that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, yani, the beginnings of Surah Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So they asked for qasas. What better than ahsanul qasas? The best of the ahsanul qasas, the best of the stories that Allah Azza wa Jal had revealed, and that is those stories, ikhwan, that were true stories. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, that these are qasas of haqq, true stories. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And you have no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, when the Messenger of Allah, he mentioned, فَتَلَاهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ زَمَانًا. And so that was recited upon them for a period. فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ حَدَّثْتَنَا. He said, that they said, O Messenger of Allah, if only you were to narrate to us. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى اللَّهُ نَزَّلَ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابًا مُتَشَابِهًا. That indeed Allah has revealed the best hadith. When they requested a hadith, Allah Azza wa Jalla responded that Allah has revealed the best hadith. This Quran, yani, these verses that are resemblant, and the surah that are resemblant in terms of meaning and in terms of beauty and what have you. قالوا يا رسول الله لو ذكرتنا. Thereon after they said, oh Messenger of Allah, if only you were to give us a reminder. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, فأنزل الله تبارك وتعالى ألم يأني للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, has not the time come for those who believe that their hearts تخشع, that their hearts receive خشية, that is, are filled with fear on the basis of the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, وما نزل من الحق, and that which was revealed from the truth. And so Sa'd, he mentioned كل ذلك يؤمرون بالقرآن. He said, and so they were commanded with all of that by way of the Quran. They were commanded with all of that by way of the Quran. So the Quran, when it was revealed, it catered for all of that which they had requested from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was the greatest reminder for them. And so they studied it, they understood it, they memorized it, they benefited from it, and they yearned after and would have desire for the next verse and for the next surah and for the next ayah that was revealed or that would be revealed. And that is something that we're going to look at inshaAllah, even though oftentimes, ikhwani, many of the books of seerah, it is something that is bypassed. That is, the verses that were revealed in Mecca particularly, and the surah that were revealed in Mecca particularly. But in the future weeks, inshaAllah, we're going to look at the manner in which Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed some of those surah, that which is present within them, and the topics that were discussed within those verses, and likewise more of the asbab al-nuzul, since it is very relevant to the analysis of what was taking place in Mecca. The asbab al-nuzul being the reasons for revelation. Yani, what was the reason for the revelation of such and such a verse? What was the reason for the revelation of such and such a verse? The asbab al-nuzul is the science related to the science of tafsir. It is oftentimes incorporated in some of the books of tafsir. And then we had those imma and those scholars who singled this topic out with authorship and would just collect those verses that had in them asbab al-nuzul, reasons for the revelation of such and such a verse, reason for the revelation of another. And so another issue what we want to concentrate upon, ikhwan, in the sittings, again, which is in many of the books of seerah, bypassed, particularly in Mecca, that you will find many of the books of seerah don't concentrate and focus as much upon Mecca as they do Medina. And that they will mention briefly that there was persecution and hardship and what have you, and then move on to the Madani period. What we want to try and do, ikhwan, is spend some time in the Makki period, since it is more relative to our state, living in the Gharb, living in the West, and living in the lands that we live in, wherein we are believers, and oftentimes small groups of believers in and among non-believing societies. And Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, he mentions that is from the affairs that one looks towards, that those who their situation and their circumstance is most resemblant to the state and to the believers in Mecca, then they should work with the ayat of Safih. That is, they work and they look at the verses that were revealed concerning pardoning, overlooking, being merciful, and what have you. And that is, that which they were commanded with in Mecca. That the affair was one that revolved around receiving the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal, being patient with the hardship, patient with the persecution, persevere with being believers and increasing in knowledge, increasing in an understanding of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and dealing with the various forms and the various methods of opposing the da'wah of the disbelievers that were present. For indeed, their methods were many, and their asalib were many. From those asalib, we have that which is present within the Qur'an, indicating the various types in which or manners in which they rejected the messenger. And of course, from the greatest of them, al-i'rad. Al-i'rad, them just turning away from the message of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the message that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would come with. And so we find that many of them, or many of the verses in the Quran, deal with and discuss this affair of their i'rad. وَلَوْ أَسْمَعَهُمْ لَتَوَلَّوْا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. And if you were to make them listen, or if they were to hear, then they would turn away in rejection. And many verses in the Quran, we find the affair of them turning away, the affair of them rejecting, the affair of them turning their backs. Thus, we see them from their asalib and from their methods, is this affair of i'rad, that they would just turn away from that which Allah Azza wa Jal had revealed upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Quran. Similarly, from the methods of i'rad is them feigning deafness. And sometimes they would actually make that statement that verily in our ears is waqar. In our ears is a blockage from that which you say. In our qulub are akinna. Our hearts have a covering around them that prevents us from understanding what it is you're saying. Even though they understood the lughah al-arabiyyah, they understood that which the Messenger ﷺ was reciting upon them in terms of meaning, but their i'rad was one that was based upon kibr and pride and arrogance and arrogant rejection. Similarly, we had them making firar, that is that they would flee from the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and instances of individuals who would see the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and would turn away from him, and he just not wanting to hear. And likewise, we've heard previously, in previous weeks, that which is related to the sukhriya, that which is related to the lies and the fabrications that they made against the Messenger in order to turn the people away from him. Not only did they turn away, but they would likewise fabricate that which would cause the people to turn away. He's a magician, don't listen to him. And that affair of being a magician, of referring to him as a magician, was because of the fact that what they had heard from his revelation, from the Quran, from the revelation of the Quran, and his recitation of the Quran, that it was something that was too powerful for them to explain. And so the only way that they could deal with it is by referring to it as sihr, as magic. Therefore, if you were to listen to it and it affected you, don't worry, it is just the effect of his magic, and thus you should continue to turn away. And so the asalib, ikhwan, and the methods were many, and we'll discuss, as we mentioned, as we go along, we'll discuss many of those asalib in detail. But from the greatest of the asalib, and that is after they recognized that punishment, persecuting the believers, was of no effect. After they saw that harming the believers was of no effect. After they saw that mockery of the, or mocking the believers was of no effect. After they saw the sukhriya, the ridicule, having no effect. And after they saw the attempts to stop and to block those who were protecting the Messenger of Allah, or protecting some of the believers from them, had no effect. They turned to an usloob that we find for a big part or a large part of the Makki period, and that is the affair of al-mujadala. That is, that they would debate with the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they would argue with him, and they would attempt to establish or to prove that the Messenger of Allah was a liar, that he was upon falsehood. They attempted, ikhwan, to utilize hujaj, various forms of what they considered proof against the da'wah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their methods of mujadala as they went along, yani they started basic and simple, but became more and more complex the more they would argue with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the more they found that their argument was futile. And so what we're going to do then, ikhwan, in the weeks to come, we're going to look at in detail those mujadalat, and examples of them debating with the Messenger ﷺ, the topics that they would present to the Messenger ﷺ, and even the manner in which they would seek aid in debating the Messenger ﷺ when they found that that which they themselves presented was futile. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى وفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضاه صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.